Morning, Bob. Morning,
Bob.
Pastor has a sense of humor, doesn't he?
Not a good one.
Not a good one, that's right. Thank you, Randy. That's awesome. This is my seventh time preaching here since I started coming here regularly. I was only supposed to preach six times, but Pastor thought it was funny that the last time that I preached that he stood up and said, "You guys all went along with him, so I don't even like you anymore." That I was going to preach today. And I laughed. I thought it was funny. I was sitting right there. And I thought it was funny. But 2 seconds after I laughed, I thought, you know what? God's given me a privilege to be a dad. And I've learned a lot. Not all good. But there were some things that were really good. That was one of the things the pastor asked, you know? Did you do some things right? And the answer to that was yes. Did you do some things wrong? And the answer to that was yes. I wasn't sure how I was going to start this out today. Pastor kind of said something in Sunday school, if you weren't here. There's some men that are not here today that I really wanted to... I wanted to have the opportunity to share some things with today. One of them is your husband, the newest dad in our church.
Amen.
And I hope that he listens to the message. Of course, Chris, because there's a lot of times I see Chris react to his kids the way I did, unfortunately. And the last one's my son. He told me that he was going to come. But today he told me that he can't. Because he had something else that was more important to do. I want to tell you a story about a dad that had two perfect children. And he gave them everything that they ever wanted or needed. And all he asked from them was four things. Give me lots of grandchildren. One day a week, I want you to be thankful and worship me and rest. I'm going to give you a job that's going to be pretty easy, and all you got to do is tend my garden for me. And those two children still messed up. Because they did the last thing that he told them not to do. Eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I'm going to tell you a bunch of things that you can do to be a great dad today. But I want you to understand this. It doesn't matter how good you do everything. It doesn't matter how perfect you are as a father or as a parent. That child still has a responsibility to do what's right.
Yes, sir. It's good.
It doesn't mean that you were a bad parent. They still have a responsibility to do what's right. I was stabbed in the heart by my son this morning. Not so much by his actions, what he did to me, but he's teaching my grandson. He's teaching my grandson that it's okay to treat his dad that way. And I hope that in 50 years, or 25 years, when he's my age, that my grandson doesn't do what he did to me today by saying, "Dad, it's more important that I go do this thing than spend time. I just want him to be here for 1 hour. That's it. I asked several of you to pray for me that I didn't cry today, and I'm actually doing pretty good. I have, for as much as I hurt this morning, I'm doing pretty good. Okay, so, now let's get serious. How many of your dads in here? I want you to stand up if you can. That even means you, Bob. You can stand up. Stand up, Bob. I know you can do it. It might take you a while. I'm going to go around the room and just ask you how long you've been a dad. How long have you been a dad? Right. How long have you been a dad? 54? 44?
34 years.
34 years?
11. 45 years, I think.
Jim?
48.
Mr. Gordon?
I'm so long, I don't know.
Classic.
Dale?
30.
30?
Four?
All right. Pastor?
55.
55.
26.
26. Don't sit down, Pastor. Now, Paul Gordon, of course, is the oldest man here, so and he's probably been the dad the longest, and that's amazing, isn't it? Now, I want you guys to give a round of applause to the ladies that made these ugly men that are standing up. All right, now you can be seated. Because if it wasn't for those ladies, you guys would not have had a chance. I think most of them wear glasses too. You wear contacts? No? You did that all on your own? All right. So there was a sound remote, not a happy moment. That's good. Pastor read a scripture last week in Proverbs 9:9. I'm going to read it. You don't have to flip there because you read it last week. It says, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." That's what I want to do today. I want to think that the men that are in this church are just men and wise men. And I want to instruct you in some of the things that I've learned from being a dad and watching other dads, seeing things that have happened in life, understanding the importance of doing it right. A lot of us don't do it right as men. We often think that our most important thing that we need to do is to provide for our household. And we get lost in that.
Right.
There's a lot of men that's the only thing that they really do as a dad. They're there in the household. They might yell and discipline their children when they need to be yelled at and disciplined, and sometimes when they don't need to be yelled at and disciplined. But we live in a different time than the Bible, that a lot of times ladies are working outside of the house, and then they're coming home and working inside of the house. And us guys are coming home, and we might mow the yard. We might take the garbage out. But our wives are consistently washing the clothes, cleaning the house. And I'm not saying that every single guy does this, but paying the bills, dealing with the kids with the schoolwork, and the list goes on and on and on. And us guys come home and we think the only thing we gotta do is read the newspaper, watch sports, maybe mow the yard, take the garbage out, and we're being the father of the house. I know this for a fact. It is more important that a man do his duty as a father and a husband than all the things that I just named that the ladies do. All the things. I mean everything. We should be more busy than our wives. We should be, by the time we get done at the end of the night, whatever time that is, we should be so exhausted from all the things that we have to do that we collapse in bed, fall asleep, and sleep for as long as we can, and then back up at doing it again the next day. But we're not. I've yet to meet a man that does that. I've met lots of men that do it with their work. Lots of them. They'll work 16, 17, 18 hours at work, thinking that they're doing something amazing. Pastor Haynes stood right up here and said that he regrets not going outside and throwing a ball with his son.
Yep, sure did.
And I'm not pointing him out because it was a bad thing. It's something that every single one of us, if we had the opportunity to give a testimony, could stand up and say we regret that we didn't do the things that we should have done as a dad because we were doing something that really didn't matter. Chasing after the almighty dollar and buying the things that this world has to offer. And the Bible tells us as men that we should be content with having food and raiment. That's all we really need.
Yep.
Right? I did do some things right. And even though my son's not here, I love my son. I love my son. I would die for my son without even thinking about it. And I'm sure every single one of you would. If a gunman came in this room right now, I know Neil Ford, if they were threatening his daughters, he'd stand up and kill that man or do whatever he could to protect his daughters. Without a doubt in my mind. Because he loves his family, right? I did some things right. My daughter lives in Hawaii. She's probably more creative than my other children, but not completely. She sent me this a couple Father's Days ago. You probably can't see it, and I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a jar. You know, it's all pretty and everything. You know, girls, they like to do that kind of stuff. You know, to me, I'd have been okay if it was just a jar and not all the other stuff on the outside. But it says 50 reasons why I love you. Now, I had a hard time going through all 50 of these. Not crying, first off, and then paring it down so that I only had 10 of them to take up just a short little bit of time. And I'm sharing these with you because there might be a day when you get to have a daughter or a son that's 20-some years old. And they write things like this to you. They may not necessarily be the same things, but it just proves to me that I did something right.
Amen.
I love you because you worked 5, 6, 7 days a week to support us while we were living with you. Even when there were days we would have liked to have stayed home, slept in, have a lazy day, no pressure or responsibilities. I love you because you taught me let nothing be done through strife and vainglory. You know that's a Bible verse, guys?
Yes, sir.
We studied that as a family for a year. Not just
Amen.
Because it was a verse that we wanted to remember, it was something that we wanted to work through as a family. You know the rest of that verse says to treat others better than yourself?
Yes, sir.
I love you because you love me even when I had a rotten attitude.
Amen.
I love you because you wanted what's best for me and would do anything for me. I love you because you invested time in me. Most dads don't take their time to spend with their kids. Thank you for wanting to spend time with me. That's the most important way to show your kids you love them.
Boy, ain't it so.
Spend time with them. They don't care if you buy them a $1,000 toy. They're spending half a day with them, taking them fishing, just being their dad. I love you because you encouraged me to memorize verses while growing up. and not to squander the amazing memory the Lord has blessed me with. I wish I had realized the things I would remember as an adult from my youth would stay with me through adulthood. My daughter has an amazing memory. She didn't get that from her mom. And I'll leave it at that. I love you because you didn't smother me when I was growing up. You knew what I had an independent spirit and that I would be frustrated if you didn't allow me to do the things on my own. You know that verse that says, train up a child in the way they should go? My daughter gave me a testament to that right there.
Yeah, man, I like it.
I love you because you trained me up in the way I should go. God has blessed me with an amazing church family that I can continue to learn and grow from. And she does have an amazing church family in Hawaii. I love you because you taught me the importance of reading my Bible every day. The closer you are to God, the easier it is to abstain from sin. I love you because you are independent. It is a blessing to be able to look back and see how you led our family. You didn't leave the decisions for mom to make. A lot of husbands take the easy way out because they don't want to deal with the extra responsibilities or because they aren't strong enough to handle everything that is required of them.
Amen. Come on.
My daughter wrote that to me.
Amen.
I didn't realize I was making that much of an impact on my daughter. That's only 10 of 50. I could spend the rest of the service right here. And what's in this jar would convict every man that's in this room. And I didn't do it right. I want you to know that. I didn't do it right. There was a lot of areas that I failed in. But there were some areas that I didn't fail in. I have a secretly adopted daughter. Did you know that? If you're on Facebook with me, you know that I have a secretly adopted daughter. It's my daughter Rebecca's roommate in Hawaii. And we joke about that, but I really do think of her as another daughter. Now I have a weakness. It's something I've had for a long, long time. I have difficulty with it. It overcomes me every day, just about. I love peanut butter. by the spoonful. And my adopted daughter sent me this as a Father's Day gift. And on the inside, you probably can't see it, but it says SADS. And that stands for Secretly Adopted Dad. It's peanut butter spoon. You guys like Reese's peanut butter cups?
Who doesn't?
Oh my word, so do I. Remember my weakness, peanut butter? Oh, chocolate goes right along with that. Quite well. So my daughter Elizabeth made me this card. It says, so I made you a special card this year. Because normally I get you a gift and candy. Well, you're on a diet, and I didn't want you to break it because of me. So I ate the Reese's for you. Some would call that cruel, but I call it pure love. And then she said, love you, Dad. That's the worst card I ever got. All right, now I'm going to get serious again. There's three things that I want to share with you today real quickly. and I really mean real quickly, and there's a lot of depth to these. They all start with the right relationship. There's three relationships in a man's life, and ladies, you can listen along. Maybe you can help your husbands out with this. Maybe even you can glean some stuff and say, you know, he's not doing that. First one, the most important one, is the right relationship with God.
Amen.
A man can't teach his family how to be godly, how to be a Christian family, unless he understands who God is. You know, I wanted Kyle to be here because I sat out on the porch and talked to him, and he was sharing some stuff with me, and it just it pricked my heart because, you know, he's a new dad, and
Amen.
He gets to all that stuff is new to him. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing thing, isn't it, guys? Do you remember when I come down this morning? Every morning I give my daughter a high five and I tell her I love her. And this morning I grabbed a hold of her hand and I looked at her and I said, "You are the reason I get this out this day for the first time." And I have a picture of me holding her moments after she was born. Literally moments. The doctor had just cleaned them up. Every time I look at that picture, I remember the things that Kyle was talking to me about.
Amen.
It's an amazing thing. Somebody told me that Kyle was sitting in the hospital room reading to his newborn son.
Yes,
so,
amen. Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's an amazing thing, right? That makes my heart break more than anything else, because that's the most important thing. Sharing your relationship with your God, with your children. You know what happens a lot of times, men? We get too caught up in all the other stuff that we don't have a right relationship with God. We don't look for Him. We're not like the woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years. 12 years. And all she wanted to do was touch Jesus. Us men want to touch Jesus, but we don't realize it. Because we haven't had something that's driven us nuts for 12 years. We need to touch the hem of Jesus Christ and His Word, His man. Pastor asked me to read a blog post about the word effeminate. I'm going to look around and I say that a lot of the problems that we have in churches and families, because us men are not being men. We're not being men. We're not being godly men. We're not looking in this book. I've heard many, many men tell me that children don't come with the instruction manual. I want to tell you something right now. God gave us the instruction manual. Right here. He tells us how to raise our children. He tells us how to be the men and women that we need to be. We choose to ignore that, we're going to have troubles.
Yes.
On the way out here, my wife and I were talking about, you know, I really regret the things that I did wrong. I wish that I had, I'm not saying that I didn't, I just wish I would have had a mentor that would come alongside of me and said, "You know what, Mike, these are the three things that you really need to work on, and raising your kids are going to be a lot easier than what it is, what it was." There's a lot of things I could say about having the right relationship with God. I don't have the time to, unfortunately. Next one is the right relationship with their mama. And that really comes to where I want to go to. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verse 25, and we all have read this verse before. I'm sure most of us have heard this verse, especially at this church, because I think I've spoken on it once, part of it. Husbands, we're in Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. How many of you ever got mad at your wife? And I want you to raise your hand, because I got mad at mine this morning. Every single one of you, right? And they drive me nuts. My wife drives me absolutely insane sometimes. How about you guys? Your wife drives you nuts? You want to discuss it right now? Bible says to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it.
Amen.
I want to talk to you about what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and only not all of his life, but if we studied Jesus Christ's life, we would really find the example of what a man should be. Faithful to God to death. Can we say that we are that? Focused. He had a mission and he accomplished it. He was a teacher. He taught 12 men, actually 11, to do something that was amazing. They turned the world upside down. That's what it says in Acts. Well, Jesus Christ, while he was being persecuted, his beard was being ripped out of his face. How many of you ever had your hair pulled? It hurts, doesn't it? How about, have any of you been beaten before? Had a cat of nine tails whipped across your back and flesh being ripped off your back. You know what he said on the cross when they hung him up there and drove the spikes through his arms, through his feet? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How many times did your wife beat you? Maybe not physically, but verbally, she just gives you a tongue lashing. Do you beat him every once in a while? You, yeah, you. He give him a physical beating. I see you smiling back there. He probably deserves it every once in a while, anyways. Don't argue with your kids in front of your children. Even if you want to, don't do it. It's the worst thing that you can do.
Right.
Remember what I said about my son? I know I was crying a little bit, but remember what I said about my son? The thing that hurts me the most is that he's teaching my grandson how to treat himself. He's teaching my grandson that it's okay to do unimportant things other than spending an hour. I don't want that for my grandson. Do you understand how important of what we're doing as dads is and moms? We're teaching the next generation that's going to teach the next generation. It's going to teach the next generation in our family. Why are we taking it so lightly as men, then? Why do we think that the only thing we have to do is provide money for them? I just think that's crazy. Absolutely crazy. I wish somebody would have told me how important it was. All the other stuff. You're having those moments with your newborn son sitting there reading the Bible. I mean, I hope that never stops.
Amen.
Mamas, you should be doing that with your children too. not just daddies. And you know what? I can tell the men not to argue with their wives, but you women, don't argue with your husbands in front of your kids. Because you're teaching your kids just like your husband is. That it's okay to treat men that way. It's okay to treat their future husband or their future wife that way. It's not okay. If you got an argument, act like adults. I don't know what that has to be. Sometimes for me and my wife, we have to go out to eat in a public place. So we'll act like civil adults and sit down in a restaurant and talk about it. Because we can't do it in our own household. Because what we'll do is we'll raise our voices. Mm-hmm. And that's not what we want to teach our kids. Look at that, the man of the hours here. We've been talking about you. It's been all good. Yeah. Mine are too, but probably not for the same reason. Everything that your kids are watching that's bad in your life, they're going to mimic that. Everything. And I know that from experience. I'm watching my son. I watch my daughter. This daughter right here that wrote these things to me that sound so nice, the last time I was over there in March, I had one of those moments where my daughter did something that I said to myself, that was me, and it wasn't good. And I had to pull her aside. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is something else that I want you to understand. You never stop being a dad. You never stop being a mom. It just changes. I can't yell at her like I did when she was younger. But I lovingly pulled her aside. And I said, I pulled her aside by the arm and I said, honey, what you just did was what I did when you were younger. And it was wrong for me then. It's wrong for me now. Just as wrong as it is for me, it's wrong for you. But I taught my daughter that.
Amen.
Not intentionally. I didn't do it intentionally. But she saw something in me that wasn't good and she mimicked it. That little guy right there, that's how he's going to learn. He's going to watch you. He's going to watch everything that you do. My grandson, it's amazing how he quickly learns things, but it's not from me talking to him. It's not from his grandma talking to him. It's because he's watching. He's watching and watching and watching. They're like little parrots. Everything that they watch, everything that they see, everything that they hear, they mimic. Make sure that your relationship with God is right. Because if it's right, there's a better chance that they're going to mimic that relationship. Because if it's wrong, there's a real good chance they're going to mimic that, unfortunately. So when you have that moment where your kid, is just driving you absolutely insane, I mean, you just want to rip him out of his life. You know what I'm talking about? You ever had those moments? Just want to rip him out of your life and beat the living crud out of him? Think about this. Because this is what I said to my wife on the way here. I said, I guarantee you that God feels the same way about me as I do about my son right now.
Amen.
It's 100,000 times that he's wanted to say, Mike, I just want to spend an hour with you. I just want you to spend an hour with me, making me proud as your dad. And I say, oh God, I got something more important to do. Nah. So you can slap him right in the face. The last thing is the right relationship with your kids. And I'm really almost out of time. And I just want you to flip over to the next chapter of Ephesians. Number 4. 4, specifically written to us as fathers. It says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." There's a couple of parts here that I want to talk about real quick. Children, don't provoke your children to wrath. How do we do that as dads? I want to tell you how we do it. It's the moment when your son wants you to love him. And I don't want to pick on, I wish Chris was here. You guys know his middle son? What's his son's name?
Trevor.
You guys all know him, right? Trevor wants his dad and mom to love him. He's the middle kid. And we all know that middle children oftentimes feel neglected because their older siblings can do nothing wrong. And their younger siblings are very needy. So the middle kids, sometimes it's one or two, oftentimes, and I'm not just picking on these guys, but it's the truth in all families. The middle child often is the one who suffers. Or several of them. So Trevor often acts out. I've seen him do it. And I know the reason why he does it. Because he wants his mom and dad's attention. Some of you might have been little children. Maybe you did some of the same things. Maybe you did some things that Trevor does. He just wants his dad to love him, his mom to love him. Problem is Chris sometimes acts like I did. Like an idiot. And I'm talking about myself right now. I get short-tempered, angry, upset with myself, upset with them for being an inconvenience. Wasn't good to watch us. I wish I would have listened to my wife, because the next part of this verse says to nurture. My wife, by nature, is a nurturer. She loves kids. Doesn't matter whose kids they are, she loves them. She has a special, special attachment to children. And she watched me being an idiot for her children. Broke her heart. Provoke not your children to wrath. Don't do stupid things, guys, and make your children mad at you. You know, there's times when they do something that you want them to do and they don't do it completely the way that you want them to do, and you get mad at them, you're provoking your children to wrath. There's a deeper lesson that I want you to understand. Sometimes they don't completely understand what you communicated to them.
That's right.
You understand what you communicated. You think that they understand what you communicated to them. But they're not getting it. They don't see it through your eyes. They don't see it through your life's experiences. There's something else that you need to know about not provoking your children. Neil Ford, is your two daughters that were born from you two right there the exact same? They're two girls. There are a lot of similarities. They both wear glasses, they both have long hair. Are they the same?
Absolutely not.
What's different about them? Because they're both girls.
One can be shy, one wants to be everybody's friend. One you might have to talk to a little bit more to describe something to, the other one will get it quicker.
Two girls from the same mom and dad. Completely different. I have three kids, and not one of them is the same. I know that you guys can all go around the room and say the same thing. So what works for my daughter Elizabeth doesn't work for my son Matthew. It didn't work for my daughter Rebecca. It's the same thing with your children, Dale and Amy. What works for your son doesn't work for your daughter. The problem is you need to understand that as a man. goes the same for you, Kyle. You have to be willing to study your children and understand them so that you don't provoke them to wrath. You don't get upset with them because, well, she gets it, but he doesn't. Autumn gets it, but Grace doesn't. It's easy for Neil to get upset. He just said it. He said it perfectly. I got to talk to one of them longer or more than I do the other one. And sometimes as men, we're so, you know, we're so time-focused, so project-focused that we mess that up. We think that, you know, I'm not saying which one is which, but, you know, maybe Gracie catches it quicker than Autumn does. So you get frustrated with Autumn because it takes you 10 minutes longer to explain it to her. We need to take that time, guys. Last part of that verse says to nurture. And if you want to know what nurturing is, listen to your wife. Because most women, that's just built into them. It's something that God took away from us. But our wives, I told my wife, I pointed to her and said it wasn't fun to watch. Nurture and admonition in the Lord. How you doing, guys? How you doing with that? How you doing with your relationship with God? How you ladies doing with your relationship with God? How you doing with your relationship with each other? Is there something in your life that you're doing that you need to stop today between the two of you that's going to be detrimental to your children? Are there things that you're doing right? You need to spend more time with those. Ask God to help you with those. Remember, guys, you never stop being a dad, ever. I want the best for my kids. I sat in Applebee's 2 weeks ago with my son, and I said, my biggest desire for you is to be a better human being than I ever was. And that's the truth.
Amen.
I want him to be better than I was. Now I have to figure out how I can help him do that. You have to figure out how you're going to help your children to do that. Even your adult children. No matter where they are in life. Stephen, you've been asking every week for your salvation. And I've been praying for you.
Amen.
Your dad right here, I guarantee, has been praying for you.
Oh, yes, sir.
He wants that more than anything in this life. He wants to see you saved, truly saved. Do you believe that? I don't know a parent, very many of them, that don't want the best for their kids. And sometimes they disappoint us in big ways. Let's think about this. We disappoint God every single day. Every day. And he doesn't rip us out of our life. He doesn't get mad at us. He doesn't yell at us. He doesn't scream at us. He just jumps, comes alongside of us. Because that's what he did to Adam and Eve. That's a perfect example of what a dad should do. He said, I got to take some things away from you. But I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to provide for you. It's not going to be as easy as it was before. But I'm still going to take care of you. I took care of him the rest of my life. 900 and some years I lived on this earth. You guys have a great privilege. You that are still raising your kids. I mean, I wish that I still had my kids with that age right now and know what I know. I would go back and do some things that I didn't do right. I would do them right this time. I can't do that though. Pastor can't go back and play ball with his son. But he can encourage him now as an adult man, can't you, Pastor? He can have regrets. You gotta learn from those. You guys, who are still raising kids, you have an amazing thing in this church. You have guys that have already raised kids.
Yes, sir.
Come to us and talk to us. Go to John and ask him what he did right and what he did wrong. Go to Pastor and ask him what he did right and what he did wrong. Learn from these guys. You're a fool if you don't. The next generation is depending on you doing your job right. Pastor, thank you.
Well, Mike, thank you.
Under 80.